But asking myself, like, what are the blockers and limiting beliefs that I'm putting on myself? Maybe what are people around me putting on me, and maybe what they have put on me for a while, and then I haven't been realizing. But looking internally, looking externally, what are the beliefs that you have about yourself based on your childhood, your environment, like everything that you have, and working on those. But I think the first thing is to just understand them and ask yourself those questions. Times I've related is your currency.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Eat Green, Make Green podcast. This is Pat McCauley, as always. My guest this week is the amazing Rachel Dome. Rachel is a 21-year-old entrepreneur and the founder of the plant-based food brand Rooted Living. I first connected with Rachel a few months back. She came to a pre-opening tasting for Plant Pub, as we have a few mutual connections. And then I had the pleasure of interviewing her at the Rooted Living launch event at Northeastern here in Boston, where she attends school. And we thought it would be cool to get on here and do a longer form interview as well. And I have really enjoyed getting to know her, all about the brand, and even more so here on this episode. So I think you'll enjoy. We talk about how Rachel battled health issues as a teenager, how changing her diet empowered her to begin healing, what it was like being plant-based in high school. She switched to a plant-based diet for health reasons when she was like 13 or 14, so she's been doing it a really long time. The importance of overcoming limiting beliefs, how she's been able to start a business as a college student, why she chose to start a food business in particular, why there's no perfect solution to our plastic and waste problem, how she tackles big goals, and why we all create our own luck. Rachel is awesome. Rooted Living, their products right now are granola. I have had the peanut butter one. I can't speak to the other flavors, but everybody raves about them. The peanut butter one was truly some of the best granola I have ever had. The ingredients and the love behind it speaks for itself when you taste it, and I cannot recommend enough, so definitely go to rootedliving.org, order some, and support Rachel. Without further ado, the one and only Rachel Dome. Times I've related is your currency. Oh, you can spend. Okay, Rachel is officially on the Eat Green, Make Green podcast here. We did kind of like a prelude interview at your Rooted Living launch event a couple weeks ago now. And that was super awesome. So I know we're going to absolutely kill it today. But officially, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's so good to be here.
All right. Well, fill us in on kind of how life has been the past couple weeks since you launched and are actually like full on selling now.
Life has been wonderful. I've been waiting for this post-launch period for almost 2 years now. Pre-launch is great because it's all about ideation and kind of building your concept, but it's also very lonely at times because you're kind of doing it all by yourself and nobody else can share in the excitement of what you're building in the same way. And so now that I'm post-launch, people actually have my product and they're trying it and they're sharing it. And things are growing so much faster than I could have expected, which is very good, but also means a lot of like sitting down, figuring things out, getting ready, learning a lot more about things I don't know, which is always wonderful, but super intimidating too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a super interesting thing. You mentioned the loneliness, and I always tell people like get ready to be lonely if you're starting anything. I totally agree with that. And you really have to like get comfortable with being by yourself and figuring things out by yourself. No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you don't have yet a co-founder or a team. And I like to say that I kind of like have my army behind me of the wonderful people at Northeastern who are helping me, but at the end of the day, I'm the only one really working on it.
Yeah. So before we get like deep into Rooted Living here, for people that don't know you, give us kind of like the background, where you're from, kind of your life path and how you ended up at Northeastern.
Totally. So I'm Rachel. I right now am a third year student at Northeastern. I'm a psych major and environmental studies minor. But I was born in England, actually, and that's kind of where my family lives right now. But I moved to New Jersey when I was little, and I grew up on a campus of a private high school because both of my parents were teachers, which was a really weird and crazy experience because I always grew up around these people who were like so cool and these older people, and I was on a campus like running around. It gave me a lot of freedom and independence as a child that really carried through, I think, and probably made me who I am, especially as an entrepreneur today, because my parents were very free to kind of like let me roam around in the safety of campus. But I did that, and then I went to high school, a different high school than where I grew up, because I was a rebel and I didn't want to have my parents as teachers. And so I went there. I liked it. I didn't love it because I don't feel like I found my people. I feel like I've always been on this search to find my people. And I didn't really find it. I found myself in the activities that I did. I was a competitive runner in high school and I loved that. I did theater as well, but I just never found the people who I was really connected to until I came to college. So then I came to Northeastern. I was abroad my first semester back in London, and now I'm back on campus in Boston doing my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I met your dad briefly the other night. So he was saying he does like wildlife filming and all this like crazy big game stuff. And he was telling me how to like react if a tiger charges you or something. like he and I don't know if your mom is similar, but obviously like he's lived somewhat of an outside the box life. Would you say that has influenced you in like kind of going down a path of entrepreneurship that is obviously, you know, the uncommon path?
Totally. I mean, him and I are two peas in a pod. I think we're very, very similar and we always have been. But he's been so supportive of like wherever my passions have been growing up, which is a super amazing and lucky thing. I think that I've always had a bit of that entrepreneurial spark, which he's said throughout everything that I've done and everything that I've created, and a lot of what I've done, even though it doesn't seem related to entrepreneurship, whether it's, I worked with special needs kids when I was in high school, and that's actually why I'm a psych major. I thought I was going to go on and do that for a job. But that was something that I had to go out and find the people to help and like do that type of thing. And he was super supportive of that. So he's very instrumental in this whole process. He makes it feel like I'm not doing it all alone most of the time. But now it really comes in handy because he actually has like really good advice when it comes to business stuff.
Yeah. So at some point along the line, you get introduced to or find out about plant-based food. When does that happen, and why did you choose to go that route?
Yeah. So I was 14 when I went plant-based. So I was quite young. When I was 13 to 14, I was struggling a lot with personal health. I had a really aggressive eating disorder for a while, and that kind of resulted in complications outside of that to do with like my heart and other things that ended up lasting for a really long time. And so luckily I had really great intensive care quite early on, but the health complications kind of continued for a while. And I decided to adopt a plant-based diet. Really not anything to do with anything like physical, but I really needed something mental to focus on to make sure that I knew that I was doing something that was good for my body and that I felt excited by and that got me into cooking and all of that. And so I fell in love with the plant-based lifestyle. It allowed me to find my passions again. It brought me out of this really tough time. And through that, I learned about kind of the environmental side and impacts of eating plant-based.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such an important piece. Like I've had like healers on the show of all kinds, and just especially with something like changing your diet or starting to exercise more or whatever, it's just like so empowering in the individual instead of taking some like pill or procedure that is kind of totally disempowering. Like when you actually are taking, you know, control and you're making the changes yourself and it's something you can do, it empowers you. And then that, you know, in your brain is kind of telling yourself that you can heal and you can make a difference in your body. And that's super important. That's awesome. You like kind of realized that way back when at such a young age.
Absolutely. And I think it helps when there's like the plant-based community behind something like that. There's a group of people who are also super excited and willing to share recipes and that sort of thing. So that was really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So you obviously get well, you end up running in high school and being an athlete. I mean, when obviously then you're off to Northeastern, when does the idea to actually start a plant-based food company happen for you?
So it was actually when I was a runner. So I was doing competitive long distance running. I loved it. I love running. And I still do. I now do more longer running. So I actually just did the Cambridge Half Marathon, which was a blast. Much more fun than running like 2 miles in an indoor track, I have to say. Mm-hmm. But I did love it. And as any athletes out there know, probably, you snack a lot when you're an athlete. You gravitate towards quick and easy ways to fuel. I definitely did. Everyone on my team did. And I was frustrated as somebody who really cared about not only my personal health at that point, but the health of the planet and the impact I was making, that there wasn't any sort of sustainable solution to the single-use plastic that was wrapping all of the snacks. And also, like, everything was filled with ingredients that I couldn't even pronounce, even if it was plant-based. And so I was really missing something that was truly healthy and also sustainable. There's nothing out on the mainstream snack market that actually was a sustainable type of packaging. So out of that frustration, I just started making my own snacks, honestly. Like, I was like, great, patting myself on the back. I'm so eco-friendly, like making a difference. And I was just solving the problem for myself. And that was in high school pretty much. And then when I went to college, I was like, well, this problem still isn't solved. Like, there is this huge gap. A lot of other industries are going forward with sustainability. I mean, like cleaning products, like health and wellness things, clothing, like there's all of these industries that were shifting towards sustainable ways, but that wasn't happening. And that really isn't still happening in the snack industry yet. And so that was like the thing that propelled me to actually look into what it would be like to build something from the ground up and to pave the way in an industry that didn't yet have that solution.
Mm, yeah. Can I ask you, what was it like as a high school student being plant-based? Like, I've gone back and I've like done talks at my high school 10 years after graduating, and it's still the same exact like chicken patties and just like total garbage food in a fairly like, you know, well off town. You know, they have the resources to change that stuff. But what was it like? And I'm curious, I picture it almost like being a thing that subtly maybe like built confidence, almost like not drinking in high school, like having the courage to like say no or kind of go your own path despite others, you know, talking whatever they're talking. What was it like?
That's a funny way of putting it. So like food-wise in my high school, like good old Pennington, New Jersey, luckily had great options at my high school. So like the options were great, but it was more the social aspects that were really difficult because people just like didn't expect it. Like, I was definitely associated with the one who was vegan for a while. People would ask me questions all the time. Like, it was like it just became a part of my identity, which like, I don't know. I guess like it was such a part of my identity at that point too, because it was so early on. So I was interested in answering these types of questions. Then people kind of got used to it and didn't really like think about it as much. But it definitely was one of those things that a few times people would come back in high school and be like, yeah, I actually decided to go vegetarian because of what you were doing kind of silently all along. And I guess that's the best that you can hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So how do we go from idea of, okay, this all sounds great on paper, let's get some amazing granola or snacks or whatever you were planning on doing first and get some sustainable packaging. Like, how do we go from like this idealistic, you know, concept to like where we are today?
2 years of stress. That's how. Oh God. So it started when I started doing this when I was 19. So, I was a freshman in college and I went through a program that we had called We Build, which is part of an organization called WISE, the Women's Interdisciplinary Society of Entrepreneurship. That's a program that I now co-direct, but when I went through We Build, it's a semester-long program that basically teaches young entrepreneurs the hard and the soft skills of business. So it's like a set of workshops each week, and it's so amazing for people who don't really know anything about business like me. So I was a psych major, didn't really know anything or where to start, but it gave me a community. It gave me a bunch of people who are empowering me, which, like I mentioned, in high school, I never really felt truly empowered. So it was the first time that I felt like people believed in me before I even believed in me. And I honestly think that if I didn't find like that community, even if I had the resources of entrepreneurship, I wouldn't have gone forward. I think I really needed that confidence boost. I needed to believe in myself to check some of my limiting beliefs and really push past those, do some self-work first. And once I did, I felt like the whole business stuff came a lot easier, because I think a lot of us place blockers on ourselves that prohibit us from like achieving our goals or the dreams that we have. And as soon as those are kind of taken away, all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier, which is at least what I felt. So I went through that program, and then I utilized a bunch of other programs that Northeastern had to offer, and learned through the people around me, through the organizations, through students, asked for help through mentors, figured it out the hard way, I guess, which is there's really no other way in entrepreneurship. And started building a supply chain. I don't know. It's just like all of the things.
Can you touch a little bit more on like how you removed the blockers and like how you went about changing your mindset? Because I agree. I think that's like, that is the biggest separator from somebody that succeeds and somebody that doesn't even start. It's just the belief that you can actually go out and do it. Can you talk to how you kind of overcame the doubt and the fear and that side of things?
Absolutely. Yeah, I really think I was the biggest thing in the way of myself at the beginning. Once I started asking myself, like, what were the things that I was so, that I didn't feel qualified about, like the fact that maybe I was 19 or that I didn't have a business degree or that I didn't have any money to start this business with, or that I wasn't like a 50-year-old white man, or that like all of these things that in my head didn't make me a successful entrepreneur or have the ability. I mean, who goes out at 19 is just like, I want to do the thing that nobody else is doing, that all these big companies aren't doing, and think that it will be successful. So there's part of allowing yourself to find freedom in your own abilities. Because I think that everybody will do things their own unique way. But asking myself, like, what are the blockers and limiting beliefs that I'm putting on myself? Maybe what are people around me putting on me, and maybe what they have put on me for a while, and then I haven't been realizing. But looking internally, looking externally, what are the beliefs that you have about yourself based on your childhood, your environment, like everything that you have? And working on those, but I think the first thing is to just understand them and ask yourself those questions. And it's not easy, but going through that process, I think, is really important at the beginning of entrepreneurship.
I love that. I love that. And I will ditto the fact of surrounding yourself with people, with the right people. And I'd love to get your take on how you have done that in a college atmosphere. Obviously, like, you are in like Party Central. I mean, there's very few, you know, young people at Northeastern right now that are starting businesses. Like, how have you kind of dealt with being around all these kids partying, but also chasing your dreams?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I think becoming an entrepreneur, you have to also be very true to yourself. And part of the process of me looking at my limiting beliefs and building myself as an entrepreneur was also being very honest about what I wanted and doing things that were for myself versus what were pleasing others. And like going and doing that whole party scene has never been something that has been super fun for me. Like that's never been my vibe. And doing that was taking away my energy and my happiness and my love from doing the things that I actually wanted to do, like running and doing the stuff with Rooted Living and all of that. So that was first, like that was part of it. And I think like once you're able to be truly honest in what is true for you, then the people that are right will come after that. And that's what happened to me. So when I was a freshman, I distanced myself from people who I felt really weren't the right fit for me, which is really hard because I was all alone. I didn't really have anybody. I vowed to this kind of lifestyle of being independent and just doing things for myself. And so that's how I went to Northeastern's Winter Involvement Fair all by myself. And that's how I found WISE, which is the organization that really propelled me into business. And I don't think I would have done it if I didn't find that organization. And I think that relates back a lot to my favorite quote that actually my dad says a lot, which is, you make your own luck. And I think that's so true because it's like, you know, I put myself in that situation where I went to that involvement fair and I found WISE and I applied for it. And you put yourself in all of these situations. And so I think to anybody out there, like who'd be curious about like how I'd end up in this type of lifestyle as a student in college, being an entrepreneur, having a company, it's just like being honest to what I want, and going after that in a very authentic way, because then the people that I want will come with that. And that's what's happened to me. So I feel like I've ended up in a great position.
I love it. I've done a whole podcast episode on adopting a new identity.
Yeah.
And then once you adopt that new identity, like this crew starts to form around you, that lives a similar life. And then all of a sudden you have all these amazing people that love all the things you love and like are high performers and,
Yeah.
care about all the things you care about. That's awesome.
Yeah,
That
they're
is
real.
awesome.
They're out there. Like they actually are.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, why granola first, and what's the product line? Give us what we can actually order like online today.
So Rooted Living, and just for the little recap, eco-friendly plant-based snack company that uses compostable packaging instead of single-use plastic on our snacks. No refined ingredients, no preservatives. Why I started with granola was because that was the snack that I made myself all the time in high school. Like that's what I used before practices. That's what I use all the time at school. It's easy because it's just a dry good. And so you can just throw it in like whatever you have. And like it was really easy for me to take wherever. It wasn't like I also was like making a lot of like protein balls and energy balls, but those needed to be refrigerated. So it was just more of a hassle. This was also the recipe that I nailed. Like, it's ridiculously good. I'm not sure if you're like a cluster person with your granola, but like, that's super important to me. And to be able to find clusters in a granola that doesn't have refined sugar, that doesn't have oil in it, like, I pretty much nailed the recipe. And so that's why I went with that, because I thought that'd be a great thing to kind of be scalable and to test out. And I was right because it's awesome and shelf stable and a great, easy product to start with, like, from my side. But I really am excited to start building out the snack line.
Yeah, I can say that the peanut butter one was unbelievable. Both my girlfriend and I approve.
I love that.
And we are also granola snobs. So I think I want to say the one we will occasionally get is Pure Elizabeth or something. Yeah.
But top ingredients are
You
sugar and oil.
blow it out of the water. Yeah. So
Yep.
okay, so talk to us like how you're making those clusters without like the oils and the added sugars.
Yeah, so I think like first of all, the binding of the nut butter, which I use instead of oil, is super important. That way it like gets it thick. So that's super important. And then when it's baked, it's pressed down pretty firmly. And then only baked on one side so that when it comes out, it's just basically one long sheet and then that's broken up. My co-packer does all of this now, luckily, not me in my kitchen anymore.
Yeah. How long did it take you to find the right co-packer? Was that a nightmare?
It was a nightmare. Not as much of a nightmare as finding the packaging supplier for the compostable packaging. Luckily, this was a little bit easier because I had a recommendation for this co-packer from a past, like an alum at Northeastern that's also an entrepreneur. But it was just a confusing process to get into from somebody who just has never worked with a co-packer before. It took like a year of talking to actually like solidify something, the partnership between us. But it's really fun because they will basically test your recipe, make it at mass scale, and then send it to you. And then I was able to like tell them what I liked and what I didn't like, and then they try it again. So it was like a really fun process, and it's called a benchtop trial. So that was really awesome.
Have there been any like standout challenges outside of those that you might want to share to kind of give people little insights into like real day-to-day life?
Yes. So I think the biggest daily thing that I struggle with is the fact that there's no perfect sustainable solution to really anything. And I went into this business thinking that I was making a product that would solve the problem for good of plastic pollution, which, we all kind of know is bad for the planet, major contributor towards global warming and pollution, all of these things. And so I thought by my efforts to have this compostable packaging that I would be solving and eradicating that problem. The more research that I did and time that I spent learning about all types of packaging and materials, I did realize that there really is no perfect packaging. While compostable packaging is far superior than any of the other counterparts, which is why I ended up deciding to go with it, it's not perfect either. And there's a troubling lack of access to composting in the US, which then also perpetuates this problem. And so, if I feel like I'm doing half of the mission right now, which is bringing out the sustainable packaging, but there also needs to be that latter half of like increasing access to composting, which is a lot harder to do as an individual, but something that I'm working really hard on as this next level of rooted living as we start to expand.
Right. And it's really on, at the end of the day, it's on the person that buys your packaging, right? That buys your product to not just throw it in the trash, but to actually like compost it. The benefit of the compostable packaging, I think, and you would know better than me, is that if it does end up in the ocean, it will over time just degrade and it won't, stay together forever like plastic.
Exactly, and that's a huge problem because a huge issue with bioplastics, or with regular plastic, is that it will break down into microplastics in the ocean. And what happens with that is often that will end up in being eaten by ocean animals, which often kills them because they feel like they're full, even though they're not eating anything, because it clogs their stomach. And then we also, as humans, will ingest microplastics, whether it's through eating animals from the ocean. And we also breathe in a lot of microplastics as well. So they're a huge, huge problem, and that would be solved like through that packaging. But also, if it isn't composted properly, it could emit some CO2 emissions as it breaks down. Now, on the scale, if you're looking at it versus the whole lifeline of plastic through production and extraction, all of that, plastic still does have a greater impact. It still is worse than this bioplastic, this compostable plastic. So I think that that's important to also note.
I had a guy on the show who was doing a water product, like a home filtered water company, and he was just trying to eliminate bottles altogether. And he was explaining how like we drink microplastics in our water now,
We do.
and also when you drink water, whether it's like Poland Spring or it's like a bottled water, you are literally ingesting the plastic from that bottle as well, because it's like slowly the microplastics are slowly like falling into the water, and but it's just in our water supply too, which is just crazy to think about, but we're
Exactly. And
constantly ingesting it.
when people think about plastic too, it's like, okay, so plastic's obviously an issue, but plastic is full of chemicals, and that's the worst part. And it's not just when I think people often think like when they think of plastic being thrown away, that's the main harmful part. But the majority of plastic is actually burned. And that releases those chemicals into the air. But the problem with that is these incineration plants are often placed in the heart of poor minority communities, making plastic a social justice issue too. And that's something that I don't think is talked about enough either.
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything about the products specifically that you want to highlight? So that before everybody goes and orders them right now?
Yeah, so we have our two flavors of granola. We have the maple almond, which is my favorite, and then we have the peanut butter crunch, which probably goes the fastest. We also have a line of really fun and well-designed merch that was done by an awesome team of designers, also students at Northeastern. So we have a tote bag that's made from recycled cotton. We have t-shirts, awesome stickers, and we'll be expanding the snack line very soon. We're actually bringing out snack pack sizes of the granola in the next few months. Those will be really awesome and easy to just like throw in a bag and take on the go. And we're also launching the app quite soon. And so that's something I'd really tell people to keep an eye out on, probably through our social media, which is just Rooted Living on Instagram. But this app is going to have three really awesome components. It's going to have obviously access to the shop. It's going to have a recipe hub, which brings in my love for the plant-based cooking. I've been working on this Instagram feed for Rooted Living Eats. That's what it's called on Instagram for years and years and years, where I just like, this is my passion of like taking food photography of these and developing these plant-based meals. And I'd love to incorporate that one day into Rooted Living. And I think this app is a great way to do so. Hopefully an introduction to a cookbook one day, which would be awesome. And then something called an impact tracker, which basically will track everybody's individual impact that they're making through buying Rooted Living products. So you'll be able to understand on an individual level the impact that you're making, which I found super important when I was in high school, just the understanding the choices that I made actually had an impact. And so for people to see the impact that they're making through participating in this company, I think is going to be really, really monumental.
Yeah, very cool. So the app itself, you would be able to buy the products, and then basically you would have like a running tally of the impact you're making as you buy the products.
Exactly.
Yeah, super cool. Do you have any like tactics or strategy for like when you set a goal? So let's say it was like you build that app, or it's like get your first granola product or whatever. Do you have any like strategies or visualization techniques or anything like that that you use to like help things come to life?
So the hard part about being a solo founder is like you have to both do those like long-term dream things and the day-to-day nitty-gritty, and it's easy to get lost in either of them, like to get lost in the day-to-day thing that you forget the vision, or to be so much in the vision that you're like neglecting the day-to-day. So that's something that I find pretty difficult. But something that I have is I'm not sure if you know Notion, but it's a great platform to like organize everything. It's kind of like Google Docs, but a little bit different. It's an awesome organizational platform. And so on that, I noted down some goals last year, like big dream goals that I had. Because I think often when we place these goals for ourselves, it's like, okay, like I think that's attainable. But these were like the I have no idea if this is attainable, but like I want to get here type of goals. So I put them down in a little checklist last year, and I've checked off 3 out of 5 of them now, which is awesome. Which was, I think it was launch. It was get $10,000 in a pitch competition. And the other one I think it was get in a News at Northeastern article. So I did those three. Oh no, it was launch my crowdfunding campaign, which I did. And then the two left that I have are to get in a Boston Globe article that's like been my dream for so long, and to have a TEDx. And so those are still things that I'm like, I don't think I can ever do, but obviously are super feasible, and hopefully will come soon. So maybe this is me manifesting them, putting them out
Oh,
there right
those are so easy.
now.
Consider them done. Come on.
Oh, so once I check those off, I'll make my new list. But I think that that's an awesome
Yeah,
way of like to put those down, note them somewhere that you see every day. I did that like writing them down, but I never found that super, super helpful. So having them online, like some a platform that I go to every day, reminding myself, even if it's subconsciously, of the things that I'm like working towards, even on the days where I'm like in the nitty-gritty, like that's what's been helpful.
I love that. I think it's super cool. like, you know, however many years ago you wrote that list, you know, they were big goals, right? In like the Boston Globe and the TEDx that will totally happen, right? Like those seemed like nearly impossible. Like yeah. you're writing them down like, this is freaking crazy.
Yeah.
And, but it's funny. It's like, that's the top of kind of the top of the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you like get there, you see like all these other mountains that are way higher, but you couldn't see it from 3 years ago. And then once you get to that level, it's like, those were so small, you know?
Yeah, which is why it's important to set and articulate those goals, because if I never had, I never would have gone for them, which means I would have like stayed at the bottom of the smallest mountain, right? And so I think that that is also just a testament for actually like really going for the goals, because you're going to continue to have bigger and greater ones and get to a place where you never would have imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. So other than just like clearly writing them out and stating them, is there anything else like that you do on that front?
I think I honestly, the biggest thing that I do is stay in my own lane as an entrepreneur. I think this is such an individual journey, especially for me. And actually, like, I somehow ended up in a school that's like the perfect place for an entrepreneur. Like, there is all these people like making startup companies, and it's awesome. Like, love that. I'm literally leading an organization of entrepreneurs. But at the same time, I thought like nobody else was doing this when I became an entrepreneur. I was like, whoa, like, I'm starting a business. That's a huge deal. And it is a huge deal, but it starts to dilute a little bit. Like, as you surround yourself with so many people who are trying to do the same thing, it doesn't seem as special anymore. So staying in my lane has really allowed me to celebrate all of the things that I'm doing. Even the little things, like the day-to-day little wins that I'm celebrating that are leading me up to this greater place. I don't think I would have celebrated those if I was comparing myself to somebody else who's already like way ahead of me. So that's the other thing that I really, really try to do.
Yeah, that's great. I certainly, over the years for me, anytime I have like compared myself to a competitor or whatever, I end up just doing something stupid. You
right.
Know?
You're going to do yeah. it. No matter what, you were always going to do it different than the other person.
Right, right. Yeah. 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 That's awesome. That's awesome. Where, give us the, like the grand plan for Rooted Living. Like, where do you see it in, mm-hmm. in 5 years, 10 years, or like wherever you want it to go?
So other than dominating the world, I think that we will expand hopefully all across the US, become a staple in major retail and supermarkets as like the main eco-friendly snack. I hope that this really inspires greater access to composting. That's a big mission of mine, and I'm working on some behind the scenes types of things right now that hopefully will really increase access and accessibility in general to composting. So I hope that that will always stay a big part of my mission. I hope to have a cookbook at some point soon. This has been something I've wanted for so long. As like the plant-based cooking has started this whole journey and something I love to do so much. So that would be part of it. Have a like full team. I think that'd be awesome to have a team behind everything that Rooted Living is doing, making sure that we are being transparent. We're making a true and honest impact, and that we really are leading the way in the fight against single-use plastic within the snack industry.
I love it. I love it. What is your biggest fear at the moment in life, if you have one?
So my biggest fear in life or with Rooted Living?
Either.
Oh gosh. Okay. Let's start with Rooted Living. My biggest fear with Rooted, I don't think like quote unquote failure really scares me, because I know that it's just an opportunity to pivot, and that I always will, because I care about it so much. But I've always been somebody that finds it really hard to have negative feedback. I really like to avoid conflict, and I'm very sensitive, and you really do have to build a thick skin in entrepreneurship. I've definitely realized that so far, but I'm worried that I won't end up making the impact that I want to be making from a sustainability standpoint. And I always worry that I'm not educated enough on what I'm doing, even though I spend so much time researching, time talking to professors, time like really trying to understand that I won't end up making the impact that I'm actually trying to make, and that I'll end up doing the thing that I'm trying to prevent, which is greenwashing, which obviously like I wouldn't be if I'm being as transparent with everything that I'm doing as possible. But I think that that's a big worry of mine.
Any advice for other college entrepreneurs that are maybe a year or two behind you?
Two things. One, find a mentor. Definitely just like find somebody who's doing something similar, and it can just be somebody who's like an alum of the school. So like go to an alumni department, like find somebody who's done something so that you don't have to figure everything out by yourself. Like I wouldn't have figured out what business insurance I needed, or like wouldn't have figured out how to get incorporated if it wasn't for somebody before me who kind of guided me in that sense. So that's one. And then find a community of people who will truly empower you is the other one. And it may seem impossible or really hard to find, but it is out there. Testing different clubs, seeing if there are entrepreneurship clubs or clubs related to what you're passionate about. Finding that community is so, so important.
Yeah, and to give Northeastern a shout out here, you are currently like essentially getting paid to build your business, right?
I
That's what
am.
you said, right? Yeah.
For a full year, Northeastern has co-ops, and so basically there are 6-month periods where you can like go work for another company and get paid, and you're not taking classes. So it's to get like really hands-on work experience. And so I'm just doing that, but like working for myself, and it's donor funded, and so I can pay my rent while I'm doing it, and I have the opportunity to spend my full time working on it, and I'm doing that actually for a full year instead of 6 months, because I applied for a back-to-back double co-op, which they don't do, but I pushed for it because you make your own luck. And so I think that it's an awesome time to be really growing rooted living.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this has been phenomenal. I think like so much incredible info, especially for like younger entrepreneurs and college entrepreneurs. So yeah, I just want to give you like a massive shout out, and like your confidence in belief in yourself is like incredible, you know? And I'm thinking back to myself at 20, and it just was not even close to you know, what you've built in yourself. So I hope you know that you have like a mindset that is beyond your years and it is obviously serving you. So yeah, shout out to you, and yeah, just keep going, and congrats on all the progress so far.
Thank
And obviously you're doing something good for the world and genuinely doing something good for the world. And I certainly believe that has a way of coming back and supporting you and bringing you good things. So.
I hope so. I hope so. And I'm so grateful to be on this podcast. Just know that I am very a big fan of it and love everything that you're putting out and the information that you are giving people. It's really, really impactful. So thank you for having me on. It's such a big pleasure.
Absolutely. So give Rooted Living a shout out where people can buy it, social handles again, and then you get the last word. Anything under the sun you want to leave listeners with after that?
Love it. Okay. So rootedliving.org is our website. So that's where you can go and buy the product itself. Definitely recommend doing that. And then you can also get it through Instagram. You can shop through Instagram, and our Instagram handle is just rootedliving. So that's where you can find us. And I'll leave you just with my favorite quote from my dad: "You make your own luck."
I love it. I love it. All right, Rachel. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.